in mind. It's an important message about personal power. That's the title of the message today. And I think it's especially important because not only are we talking about this idea all month in this month of October, we're talking about evolutionary awakening, but that only happens, that global transformation can only happen as we participate at the level of the personal. We have to be invested in some sort of a personal transformation if this world is to transform at all. And we don't have to get everybody on board. It's one of the things I love about this philosophy is that we just know that as we do our part, something greater unfolds. More is happening than meets the eye. So I looked for the perfect quotation to inspire me as I was putting the message together. And I found a quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson that is so stupendous that I'm thinking I might be using it for 2017 as one of our theme quotes. Listen to these words from Emerson. Vigor is contagious. And whatever makes us either think or feel strongly adds to our power and enlarges our field of action. Think about that. I mean, I'm going to read you another little sentence in it here, but think about that right now. Whatever it is that makes us either think or feel strongly adds to our power and then enlarges our field of action, enlarges, expands all the potentiality for our very own individual lives. And then he goes on to say, power resides in the moment of transition from a past to a new state. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to, for the remainder of the message, I'm going to break that down into little segments of that quotation so that we can walk away this morning with a stronger idea of what it means to say that vigor is contagious, what it means to say that we pay attention to what makes us think and feel strongly makes us more powerful, and the way that power exists in that relationship of change from something old into whatever is waiting to be new, from the past to a new state, a new way of being. So let's just start with that. Vigor is contagious. You know, I mean, we really can feel that even just in talking about it, because what is vigor? Vigor is enthusiasm. And what do you know about hanging out with enthusiastic people? You know, it kind of rubs off on you. You can't help if somebody's really excited about something. You kind of feel yourself getting a little excited about even just being with them, but about whatever it is that's going on. I think they teach that in sales, actually. When you look at the definition for vigor, it is indeed enthusiasm, but listen to this. The dictionary also says that vigor is physical and mental strength. So our excitement, if we can get excited about life, and I think that's really what we teach here, we are always saying, go out in nature and look at the things that are not man-made and see what excites you. See if you can feel some kind of divine connection to that larger intelligence in the world. When we can feel that and sense that, we are then physically rejuvenated because we are mentally strengthened. And, you know, it's that whole way in which our body has a vibrational reciprocity with the way we show up. What we feel, what we think shows up in how we are. So this idea that as we face life or the spiritual life, if we dedicated our spiritual path to living vigorously, we would find that we are automatically stronger and healthier and better in every way. But what's really always of interest to me when I'm playing with words is that there's also a definition for vigor in relation to biology. And listen to what it says there. Vigor is good health and well-balanced growth. So I'm hoping that I can share with you the rest of this message and that you won't hear me sort of lecturing you that you need to be more vigorous about life, especially if you're kind of a low-keyed person, because I am not, in case you hadn't noticed. I have a lot of passion, and I have trouble keeping it to myself. This is a good gig for me. But it's not about you trying to be something you're not. It is an invitation to see that even lower-keyed people than me can have those intimate moments of connection with that greater life, and there is a vigor, a healing, a strength in it. But I love this definition from biology that says it's about well-balanced growth. So it's not something we work to, you know. I mean, I think we do that a lot. We hear this almost like the Ten Commandments that we learn in Sunday school, and we're going to strive to honor those Ten Commandments. And if we don't do so good, if you're really blessed, you can go to a priest and be forgiven. But then there's the rest of us that are always just trying to do good and are kind of hard on ourselves when we don't measure up to however we define that good. So I'm not talking about trying to be something you're not. I'm not even asking you to be a better spiritual person. But what I'm suggesting is if we look at this idea of well-balanced growth, that we will open ourselves to the reality that living requires growth. We cannot not change. Did I say that right? It's like, I don't know why I do that. I confuse myself. So, but you know what I mean? We can't be stagnant. We have to, like, always be moving and growing. And so well-balanced growth is about movement. So sometimes I notice, like, if I'm going to talk about self-care, personally, I can't speak for you, but personally, I'm always looking for a better balance in taking good care of myself because I love my work and I love what I do and it's easy for me to give. And sometimes you overgive when you do that and then you deplete yourself, right? So if I'm looking to be well-balanced in self-care, it doesn't mean I'm looking to land in the middle of not enough and too much. That's what we sometimes see balance as, but it's well-balanced growth. So it's movement. It's almost like the pendulum is the very thing that brings us back to center. So I'm looking for a way to find my own personal power by finding that way I can be sort of centered in spiritual truth. And that's what I love about spiritual community. Nothing brings you back to center better than hanging out with people that are also focused on that spiritual movement in life that we may or may not call or see as growth, but man, it really is. It is the expansion of what's possible in our lives, and it's always about growth. So what happens when we make some peace with that idea that well-balanced growth means we're not going to just stay well-balanced all the time? We're going to sort of weave in and out and up and down and around it sometimes. But it's the movement. And as we do that and we accept that, the strangest thing happens. We also move into a better place of harmony. We find that mental and physical strength. We begin healing things simply by that dedication toward our spiritual life. So our goal is not to fix anything, like I like to remind us often, but it really is about how can we live our lives in such a way that we can expand our experience of good, that we can be a part of bringing divine good to this planet and just let it express through us. And I really think we're doing a really good job at that. And I don't just mean this community. I mean, I just think we have such a beautiful emphasis on being kind and paying it forward and all those things that, you know, I love to chat about. So going back to that quotation, Emerson said that power exists in the moment of transition from a past to a new state. Now, we've spoken about this a great deal this year, that relationship between this and that and that space in between, which is an activity in a life. It's the and between here and there and all those other things. That is the place where that transition happens. Something changes between the way we used to think about something and we step into a brand new way of perceiving that same thing or something brand new that we didn't used to see. So sometimes we say on the spiritual path that we have aha moments. Have you had an aha moment? you know, you just get this sudden insight, you know, this, you're moving through something, maybe it's not even a challenge, it's just some synchronicity or some awareness that it feels kind of like it washes over you and you have this great clarity. And I think that those are the moments of vigor, that's the place where we are strengthened. And it doesn't matter whether or not we can hang on to those things, because it is a bit... thank you. I couldn't remember if it was the IL or the EL. So you know, you all got it. It fleets. It's fleeting. And that's okay. And we are just going to notice if we are peaceful within about that movement, that then that zeal and enthusiasm will show in some way that is comfortable and natural for our own expression, right? So you don't do it like me. You don't have to be as colorful and loud and alive as I am, though I kind of like it. It works. I do think it is about choosing to not be lukewarm. So it might sound a little sort of the opposite of Buddhism. I find that somebody like me benefits from studying the Eastern ideas because it does give me a better way to find that center, my what I call my God center. But it's not about being lukewarm in any way. In fact, I find that apathy... offends me more than hatred sometimes. I want to know people are alive. I want to know people are thinking. So the ancient metaphysicians used to use this term that they would be sparkened. I think it's the, and I like to use that word. I can't find it in the dictionary anymore, but they pulled it off, so why can't we? It's that same word, I think, that is like quickened. You feel a quickening within you. And for me, that's what the enthusiasm is. That's where the vigor comes from. That's what's contagious. So we should not keep those things to ourselves. Let people see you excited about your new spiritual realizations as they unfold. So being well-balanced, and if we look at that in terms of spiritual growth, is not about finding an even keel as much as it is finding a way to move and stay in your center while life seems to be moving around you. It's about finding your sort of your center of gravity is the way I think of it, because there is a natural movement to life. So don't raise your hand, but if you've had any experience being a people pleaser, you might notice that in our attempt to keep our life peaceful, people pleasers go around trying to please everybody and be happy wherever they go so that they don't make waves, because the world is, I see a lot of people nodding, bravo, good job acknowledging, you know you got it or had it. And we just want everybody to get along, right? But if you are a people pleaser, you will rarely find yourself at your center, because you're always out here trying to readjust things, and that's what throws us off center. To come to our own well-balanced growth place, there's movement. And so as I was thinking about that, you know, and the opposite of the people pleaser, actually I think they might be the same sometimes, but the opposite is the over-controlling person. Don't raise your hand for that one either. Where you're trying to control all the events and help your kids get along, or your neighbors, or in your, you know, we fix and we're great problem solvers and all of that. But we do not find balance in any of that. So as I was thinking about it, I was thinking it must be like, it's kind of like getting your sea legs. Have you ever heard that expression? When you go out on a boat, you got to find your sea legs. And what I know is that, and I'm just making this up from my own experience, but I was thinking it's like you, when you get out on a boat in the water, there's the movement of the water that then moves the boat, and you can't predict what's going to happen. I mean, if you're crossing a wake or something, you might see that coming. But there's this other sort of natural movement of the sea, and that you kind of have to find your way to readjust your position. And I was thinking that the best way to think of that is that we find we learn to stand softer. You know, you can't keep your knees tight. You got to relax a little bit. You got to find a way. And then when there's movement, you can do those little adjustments and you get good at it, right? You find your way. One time years ago, Hugh and I had an opportunity to go sailing with some friends. Actually, they were friends of Hugh's, but I was really blessed to be invited. And we went to Catalina. We went from Long Beach to Catalina Island, and it was a really lovely boat. We had our own bedroom. They probably don't call it a bedroom in a boat, but you know. And it had lots of sails, and it was very exciting to cross the ocean, and we went over at sunset, and then we, instead of putting the boat in at the dock, we secured the boat at a mooring, which means you're more you're still in the bay, but you're not right up on the dock. You're away from that, and you need a water taxi if you're going to get to shore. So the next day, we'd been on the boat for about a day and a half, and the next day we called for a water taxi that took us to shore. Now, we weren't in Avalon. We weren't in the... I've actually never been to the big town on Catalina Island, even though I'm a Southern California girl. But we went to the Isthmus, which is really cool, because that's the part of the island. The island kind of goes around, and then it goes in, and then it goes back out again, sort of like an hourglass might, and it has this thin place in the middle, and you can walk across the island in a very short time. There were buffalo all over. I was a little scared, but Hugh assured me he would protect me from the buffalo. And so we walked across the isthmus and we came back, and it was really a gorgeous, fun experience. But when we first got out of the boat, after being on the boat for a day and a half, you get on solid ground, and what happens? Now you can't find your balance on land because your body still has some natural movement. So then you got to find your land legs. And as I was thinking of this illustration, I was thinking that this is what life is. That there is this intelligence in the universe. There's an intelligence in our bodies that knows how to make that inner adjustment. Now, not everybody does that. Well, some people get seasick. Some people are afraid of the water. Not everybody wants to do that. But it's a very good illustration of life. That there is some intelligence within us that helps us compensate so that we can find our balance once again. And it takes a while sometimes. So this is a God-given something. You know, another way we are reminded that there's this power and this intelligence inside of us, and that we can, by studying spiritual process, principle, learn to trust that process. We can learn to love the movement just the way somebody that might live on a houseboat or on a boat moored somewhere, the way that they miss that movement when they are on land. So the movement itself creates a lot of opportunities for us to sort of travel in new experiential territory. And I don't think there's anything more inviting to our own personal growth than traveling to new lands. Nothing stretches us more. And so in some way, I believe that we're all explorers in our daily life. Not just traveling, not just in boating, but in our daily life, we're all explorers. Every single day, we can discover new territory or a new approach to something old. And if we know who our source is, if we know and remember there is a power that is greater than us, that it is on our side, we can then align to that movement and find that there, even in that movement, that seemingly bouncing around, that there is a perfect pattern, and we can find our way to be one with it. See, growth isn't about mastery. We're so interesting. Don't we just love to learn something new and really learn it well and then to just know it inside and out? But as soon as we're done learning something new, it's time to move on and learn something else. Nobody cares that I know all this stuff about childbirth because I used to be a midwife. You know, what do I do with all that knowledge now and all those skills I used to have? You move on. You learn new skills. And then you find find out that everything you've learned before that fits in with what you're doing right now. So that idea that we're always looking for new territory is important. Growth is continual. Change is constant. What if mastery in general, spiritual mastery, let's say, is more like growing sea legs, where you just find a way to be well-balanced in your growth and your movement? So I want to tell you two stories this morning. These are both favorite stories of mine. I know I have told one in a class from time to time because it strikes me that sometimes there's just a gorgeous reason you have to tell this story. And the other is one I have never told here before. So the first one goes like this. There was a man who dedicated his entire life to trying to find the place where God lived. He wanted to know where God lives. He figured if he could find the place where God lives, he could meet God and he could solve all the mysteries. He would come to understand those things that in the human journey sometimes feel not understandable. So he spent his entire life looking, searching, seeking this place where God lives. In fact, he spent several lifetimes coming back and looking and seeking and searching. And finally, one day, after thousands of years of looking, he's in this wooded area and he sees a cabin. And he approaches the cabin, and as he gets closer, he sees that there's a sign over the door. And the sign over the door says, "Herein lives God." And he's so excited, he's stunned, he can't believe it. After all this time, all this searching, he has found the place where God lives, and he walks up the porch. It's an old wooden porch in a kind of a wooden cabin. And he walks up the stairs, and he's on the porch, and he picks up his hand, and he's starting to think, well, I'm going to knock on that door, and God's going to answer the door, and what am I going to say? What do I really want to ask? And he's got his hand up ready to knock when suddenly he realizes he's made a grave error. That if he knocks on that door and God answers the door and begins to share with him the universal truths, that he will have to lay aside everything he has ever believed. And he wasn't sure he could do that. In fact, it scared him. So he turned around. He tiptoed off the porch, trying not to let the boards creak. He walked down the stairs and went away. If you encountered pure truth, would you be willing to give up everything you believe? The second story I want to tell you is slightly different, but it has a similar tone. It really is fitting. The devil and his best friend Damon were taking a walk one day. And they were walking down a street. And ahead, they saw a man, a human being, a man who bent down and he picked something up off the ground. And he held it in his hand and he looked at it. And then he closed his hand and he stuck it in his pocket. And so Damon said to the devil, "What do you think that man has found?" And the devil said, "Oh, he has found a piece of truth." And Damon was a little concerned, and he said to the devil, "But isn't that a problem for you? Is that okay? Aren't you concerned that he has found a piece of truth?" And then the devil said very confidently, "This is not a problem, for I will let him make of it whatever he desires." So what do we desire? What do we believe? What pieces of truth have we acquired on our own walk of life? I guess the question is not what do you know to be true, but the more important question would be, are those things, those pieces of truth that you believe to be true, do they empower you or do they imprison you? For the way that you answer that question will reveal a deeper truth. We are all given the same personal power. In fact, it's not even our power. It's about finding that God center and then getting out of the way and allowing truth to reveal itself to us again and again. God did not intend for us to settle. I believe with my entire heart that none of us are asked to settle for whatever we've got. But we are all invited to find those things that enliven our souls, to find that which gives us vigor, that which invites us to be enthusiastic for life at a new level that is contagious, where others can feel it, where others can be invited to lay aside for a little while that piece of truth that we have clung to for so long. I think that there is great hope for humanity. I know this. I just know this to be true. But the hope for humanity lies in our willingness to remain open and to expect that greater and greater truths will always be revealed to us. Something so interesting is happening in current events right now. Have you been away from it? Or do you, if you're anybody, you probably already know there's some interesting things unfolding. And I think that we are watching history in the making. And what I wanted to say this morning is that we are seeing powerful politicians who clearly have been humbled and have now had to publicly change their minds, right? And I would say to you, I don't care what's going on in the world because I stand in principle, but I know that we are all impacted by what's going on in terms of current events. So what I want to invite you to do is, because we don't know what's going to unfold in the next few days, but let's focus on that. Let's focus on important people who have now had to find the courage within themselves to, whether they are being nudged into it or not, they have had to come forward and publicly declare that they are changing their minds. Let us see that as an invitation to the way we can change our own minds, no matter where we have started or what we believe. I mean, I think that we do an extraordinary job, religiously speaking. And yet every once in a while, I notice some old religious belief will creep in and impact some kind of decision I make. So I love to be reminded that I too can change my mind, that I too can expand what I believe, that I can make those changes, that I can put down one piece of truth to look for another piece of truth. We are powerful beings. We are luminous beings. We are divine beings. And there is a force in this universe that I'm telling you is for us, that the way we can see life supporting us should validate that so clearly. It is time for us to stay awake. It is time for us to stay in choice. You know, it's time for us to not be afraid of change. It's what we teach. Change your thinking and you'll change your life. So we want to choose every day. We want to choose every piece of truth that we bend down and pick up to put in our pocket. We want to join others in positive community. We want to stretch our minds together and honor that people stretch differently than the way we want to stretch. Let us worship together. Let us pray together. Let us do what we do well together. Let us practice conversation in a new way where there's no right or wrong, where we set aside fear or we confess that we're afraid, and then we can encourage each other and remind each other to be big for God. There's a great, great metaphysician who I just stumbled on recently. He lived about the time of Emerson, and his name was Orison Marden. And so he lived a little while Holmes was alive as well. But these are the words he said, and I'm going to end with this beautiful quote. Orison Marden said, "Deep within every man and woman, deep within dwells slumbering powers, powers that would astonish us, that we've never even dreamed of possessing. Forces that can revolutionize this life if aroused and put into action. Amen. We are powerful beings. We are participating in an evolutionary awakening. And global transformation will only come as we are willing to transform personally. So I want you to just linger in some of the things that have been spoken this morning, maybe even the act of witnessing the beautiful ceremony. And we are going to turn inward now for the powerful words of prayer. So just get comfortable where you're seated. Take a deep breath. Just relax in that chair that has supported you this entire morning.